If you know you have everything you need to be happy, why don't you just turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them, I'm happy. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Book of Proverbs tonight. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. I need you to help me preach tonight. I'm going to preach something a little bit different. But I'll tell you what, if I can even come anywhere near preaching it, as much as I feel it tonight, we're going to have a good service. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can even get close to preaching it as good as I feel about it tonight. Proverbs chapter number 3 and verse number 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. And my dad said amen. But it wasn't that. He wasn't the one that wrote that. My son, keep my commandments. All right. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for sparing my life, Lord, for giving me the ability, Lord, to stand here and preach again, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church. I appreciate you, Lord, for everything you've already done for us in this revival. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just have your blessed way. Move around these altars, Lord, and give me the right spirit and the right words to say in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hey, hey, that's getting better and better. All right. Amen. I want to take for a title tonight, if it'd be all right to take a title. I want to take for a title, The Unwritten Books. The Unwritten Books. Now, we call this thing I read out of the Bible, and you know, the word Bible is not in the Bible. That's one of my little things I love to hear when they say, yeah, but President, that word ain't in the Bible. I say, well, the word Bible isn't in the Bible. So, the word Bible simply means a book of books. So, the Holy Bible that I read out of has 66 different books in the Bible. Now, I don't want to cross no body's doctrine here tonight, but I don't believe in total complete predestination. You see, I believe it's the Lord's will that everybody, I believe it's the Lord's desire that everybody gets saved. Amen? I believe he gives the invitation to come and pray to everybody. I believe that everybody in their lifetime will have an opportunity or the Spirit come to them and ask them to pray. Well, let me tell you, though, obviously, not everybody does pray, and not everyone is saved. Well, in the Word of God, in these 66 books, there was many prophets and prophetesses and men and women that wrote for the books that we now have, which is called the Bible. But I just wonder, and this is just Brother Doug's imagination, I just wonder if everybody that the Lord had dealt with during the many years of the Bible being written, if every one of them had prayed and given their life to the Lord and done everything they could to please God, I wonder what else might have happened during all those years. Amen? But we will never know. It's something we can talk to Jesus about when we get to heaven. But I just wonder how many there was that did not pray that the Lord would have loved to have used in a great and mighty way, but they would not turn their life and their will over to the Lord. Well, in these 66 books, There was three of, or five of those books, rather, that was written by a man named Moses. The beginning of our Bible, matter of fact, was written by a man named Moses. Now, if I read it right, and if I understand it right, of what I read in the Bible and what I read from other men's writing, Moses was what they call slow of speech, and he was so badly handicapped that he needed to have Aaron with him in order just to be the leader and the pastor. And yet, the Lord used him to write five of those books that we read. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, there was a guy named David who, of course, we say the book of Psalms. Well, he did write 73 of those Psalms himself. 73 of those Psalms were written by this man named David. Yeah, but Brother Doug, David was a great man. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't David started off just being a little ruddy shepherd boy? Wasn't he just a shepherd boy? And he was willing to let the Lord use him in such a great way that he ended up writing 73 Psalms? Amen. Now, this man named Solomon, which was David's son, wrote three of those 66 books. Now, Solomon was the... I don't know what the right word would be even to use. He was a product, I guess would be the right word, of adultery. Oh, yes, he was. And let me tell you, Solomon, yeah, he lived in King David's house. Well, let me tell you, Solomon saw some very disturbing things in his life. Wasn't it his brother that killed another brother? Wasn't it one of his brothers that raped his own sister? Wasn't it his younger brother, well, been older in years wise, but that was born, that got so sick that he died? Solomon had a rough, rough raising and growing up in David's house. And yet Solomon wrote three of those books. All right, there's the book of Amos, written by a man named Amos. And Amos said one of the things that I just love. A matter of fact, I read it on the way here to church tonight because I just love it. Amos began to prophesy, and he was questioned by somebody about it, and he said, well, now, hey, I never did prophesy, and my father, he isn't a prophesier, but the Lord said unto me, go and prophesy. Amen. So Amos was what he called a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. In other words, he was just a farmhand. And yet, he wrote the book of Amos. Isn't it something what the Lord can do when someone turns it all over to him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, there was Matthew. Matthew, I believe, was a Roman tax collector. Amen. There was Luke, who wrote the gospel according to Luke and also the book of Acts, and he was a physician. Now, most of you have probably met a doctor or two in your life. Well, Luke was a physician, and he gave everything over to the Lord, and the Lord moved upon him to write the gospel according to Luke and also what we now have, which is the book of Acts. And then there was this man named Peter who wrote three books. Well, he was just a working man. He was just a fisherman. Right. And all the brothers said, amen. We probably don't have any professional fishermen here. Maybe we do. I don't know. Have we got any fishermen on pastime fishermen? Yeah. Well, Peter was a very serious fisherman. He fished for a living. And yet the Lord moved upon him. He allowed the Lord to use him. And he wrote the book of Peter. And then there was Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament. Now, I never did meet Paul, so I don't want to talk bad about Paul. A matter of fact, I'll just tell you what Paul said about Paul. He said he was the chief among sinners. In other words, he was the worst sinner. and said that he had a thorn in his flesh, and the Lord refused to remove the thorn of his flesh, but said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And yet the Lord, Paul, was the kind of man that would just allow the Lord to use him any way the Lord would and could, and Paul ended up being the author of half of our New Testament. Isn't that wonderful? Well, you know what that tells me? It don't matter how bad of a sinner you was. It don't matter how simple of a person you are. It don't matter. You can even be slow of speech. Why, it don't matter what your dad did for a living. It don't matter. That's not what it's important. It don't matter. You can even be a tax collector. If anybody works for IRS, which surely no one does here, but you could be a tax collector. And let me tell you something, friend. The Lord can still use you if you will turn it over to him and let the Lord use you.
Sure.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, so I have to wonder what all might have been if those men who were a long ways from perfection, if the Lord used that many men in so many different ways that the Lord could use them, even with all of their faults and being slow of speech and just being a little shepherd boy and having all of those faults, and yet the Lord could use them in such a way that they could become the authors of the Holy Bible, I wonder what the Lord could do with you if you would just let him. All right now, come on now. Unwritten books. I wonder how many more books we might have had. Now, I've got this rather large print Bible, just for maybe Brother Brim may look up here and think I'm being super spiritual carrying two Bibles. Well, my Bible has three volumes because the writing is so big, there's only seven or eight verses to a page. Well, let me tell you, I wonder if everybody that had ever been born up to the point of time that we got the King James Version Bible given to us, if everybody would have completely sold out to the Lord and obeyed the Lord and let the Lord use them, I wonder if there wouldn't be some other people here with fine print Bibles that had to carry three of them because they might be so big. Amen?
Amen?
Amen now. Friend, I wonder what all could have been done and what could have happened if people would have allowed the Lord to use them. Now, listen, I'm not talking about just people that was really intelligent or people that could really write and had real good English and just seemed like they had an ability to write really good. No, I'm talking about people that was just farmhands, people that didn't have anything much to offer but allowed the Lord to use them. Amen? That's the difference. A matter of fact, I'm talking about people that would be no better, no smarter than you. I wonder what the Lord would do with you if you would just completely turn it over and let him. Amen? All right. All right. Well, I felt like the Lord just dealt with me about a few names of men that possibly could have made a difference, and who knows, maybe even written another book that would have been in the Bible, but certainly could have made a big difference in what we do read, that could have changed history had they sold out. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, this man named Paul says, verse number 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed. Could it have been when you was back in Sunday school, if you was, and probably most of you was, or have your kids in Sunday school, and you're trying to teach them the books of the Bible, you know, and you go over it and you say it, and if you're like me, you have to have a little help to cheat and look. Well, and you try to memorize all the books of the Bible. Could it have been that it would have been Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Demas? Could it have been? Who knows what Demas might have been had he not loved this present world? Amen. Come on now. And I want to tell you something, folks. I want to preach to you just for a minute here, if you'll help me preach a few minutes. I want to tell you, friend, I don't know what the Lord's will is in your life particularly. I don't know. But I know this. If you fall in love with this present world, we will never know what you could have done for the Lord. Amen? Come on now. We can sit around and talk about, yeah, I tell you what, that one preacher, buddy, he really seemed like he had a lot of talent. Yeah, he was a pretty smart guy. I like that guy. But he loved the present world. Come on now. Now you hear me, preachers. It is very important if you do anything for the Lord that you fall out of love with this present world and you understand that to serve the world and to befriend the world and to love the world is enmity with God. Amen. Come on now. You can't be a friend of God's and a friend to the world both. You'll love the one and hate the other. Amen. Come on now here. We do still have some holiness people here tonight, don't we? Amen. Come on now. Let me tell you something, friend. This new thing that's going around this world of loving this present world is just a trick of the devil to try to keep anything else from being done for the Lord out of people like me and you. Amen? Now listen, friends, I don't know when I die. It's untelling. Hopefully I'll live long enough that all of you will already be gone, but I don't know, it might be one of you brothers that preach my funeral and say my last words. But I wonder if all of, because you preach your own funeral as you live, what goes through people's mind is not what that preacher is saying, but what how you lived is going through people's mind. Now I wonder if when I'm laying there in the casket and the people are sitting there in the church, if they will be remembering what I've done for the Lord, or if they will be thinking, boy, if he'd have just stuck in there, he could have really done something for the Lord. Come on now, friend. But I'm going to tell you something. If I allow my love for this world to happen at all, I am not going to be able to do anything for the Lord. Come on now. And I'm going to say this and stress it. It is a sin for you to hate anybody, whether they are a Christian or a sinner. It is a sin for you to hate them. But it is expected and part of being a Christian to not hate them, but hate their sin. Come on now. If you are a Christian, you are going to hate sin and hate the sin of other people, and everybody said amen. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, friend, it is very, very important that we remember that Demas might have been a wonderful preacher. He might have been somebody who would have wrote a lot of the Bible, or maybe if he wouldn't have written a book, it might have been that there would have been a book of 3 Timothy to tell us about how Demas had a great revival. Amen? But now we simply have a verse that says, for Demas, he's departed. He loved this present world. What a shame. What a shame. I wonder what could have been written and said about Demas had he not loved this present world. Amen. Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter number 15. I want to read one verse. Verse number 39 of Acts chapter number 15. And the contention, speaking about Paul now, was so sharp between them, which was Barnabas and Paul, that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Well, I don't want to spend too much time giving you my opinion about who was right and who was wrong concerning their little argument or concerning their little strife that came up, which because that's not important anyway. What that they disagreed about is not important. You know the story. John Mark went on a little trip with them. They was doing a little mission work, getting out and preaching, spreading the gospel. And John Mark, who was kin to Barnabas, he just wanted to go home so bad, he got homesick. So they told him he'd go ahead and go home. And he left them out there. Well, now John Mark, Barnabas, and Paul's getting ready to go on another trip. And who's ready to go? John Mark. So Paul says, John Mark can't come. No, John Mark can't handle it. Last time we took him, look what he did. He got so homesick and acted so foolishly, we just finally told him to go home. And Barnabas says, now, hey, wait a minute. He's some of my family. Now, wait a minute. John Mark's my family. He was just young, made a mistake. Come on, let's be forgiving here and look over it. And their disagreement, which it's not important. You know, I can see positive points from both sides. I can see a positive issue that Barnabas wanted to just forgive John Mark. I can also see a positive issue that Paul was saying, hey, listen, we got work to do for the Lord. We don't have time to babysit.
Right.
So I can see positive coming out of both sides.
Sure.
So this little bit of strife, this little disagreement here is nothing unusual. And listen, friend, I've been here now almost 2 weeks at Jonesboro, but I got to tell you, and I'm not just saying this, I mean to tell you, I don't know of any disagreements here. If you've got disagreements, you do a good job of hiding it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, friend, I can also see with a church of well over 100 people, there are going to be some disagreements. Come on now. All you pastors said amen. Amen now. I've pastored for 3 years myself of not near as many people as here at Highway of Holiness, and I'm going to tell you, when you get 100 people to come together and sit in one building 3 or 4 times a week, there's going to be a little different opinions concerning things. Amen?
Amen?
Because, you know, some of it's just naturally. Some people are just warm-blooded. Some people are cold-blooded. Some people wipe sweat all through service. And other people sit there and wear a sweater at the same time. Amen? So, there are just going to always be different opinions. Amen? You know, one of my favorite things from pastoring is some people's trying to get the pastor's attention. I can't hear. And somebody else is sitting back there holding their head. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Were they ever going to turn this thing down? Because there's just different opinions. Well, that little disagreement and strife is just a part of life. That's just the way it is. And I understand that. But what happened here was that they had a disagreement. Did that mean that either one of them sinned because Paul didn't want to take John Mark and Barnabas did? Oh, I don't think that was a sin for Barnabas to want to take him and Paul not to want to take him. I don't think either one of them was sinning in that. But then that little disagreement became contention. And it became so sharp between them that finally they decided, we just can't be together anymore. And they parted ways. Let me tell you something, friend. That was the plan of the devil. Amen? It was the devil's plan, and the devil got his way. Hey, you mean that they disagree with John Mark? Well, sure, the devil will make it as big of a thing as he can, anything he can find that you might disagree with somebody else. Let me tell you how the devil works. Let me tell you. You come in, and I'll just use this for an example, and if it happened to you, forgive me, I have no idea. You come in, and you have a bad finger that's just really sore. And you know what will happen if you come to church like that? Somebody will shake your hand too hard. Every time, I guarantee it. Because the devil will do everything he can to try to get you into a disagreement with somebody.
Right.
Amen? Right. If blue is your favorite color, better watch being around discussions with church, because somebody's going to say, blue? I don't like blue. Amen? That's just the way it works. Not that it is a sin to like blue, at least I hope it's not. And not that it's a sin to hate blue. And not that it's a sin to say blue is my favorite color, and not that it's a sin to say I hate blue. There's no sin in that. But the devil will try to make you aware of any disagreements and difference of opinions. And let me just throw this in, free of charge tonight. I'm just going to throw it in. There is a difference between facts and opinions. Come on now. There is a difference in being able to say, the Bible said, and being able to say, well, the way I see it, there's a big difference in that. There's a big difference in saying, well, I heard him say, and I heard he said. That's a big, big difference. Come on now. Come on now. There is a big difference in talking about facts and hearsay and opinions. Big, big difference. Come on now. And so the devil will try to use your opinions and things that you maybe really legitimately heard in order to cause a little bit of contention. Amen? And if he can get a little bit of contention between you and somebody all the way on the other side of the church, and he can get that contention so sharp, and he can get that contention, not that you're the one who sinned, not that because one feels that way and the other one feels the other way, that's a sin. I mean, you know, you can have any kind of opinion that you want to, you know, don't matter to me. But not that having that opinion is a sin, but if he can get a couple of you to disagree with opinions or hearsay, he can make the contention so sharp that you will either have to be willing to come to dead service after dead service or be willing not to come. Come on now. Come on now. I'm preaching you the truth tonight. You'll have to be willing to say, well, that's all right, I'm going to go anyway and come to church where the Lord ain't moving, because the Lord can't move in the midst of contention. Or be willing to say, I'll just part. I won't go. Well, that's what happened in these scriptures. Barnabas is listed 23 times before this scripture is written. Barnabas is listed 23 times beforehand. After this scripture, Barnabas is only listed when Paul is telling stories that happened from before this scripture, or in his salutations, when he is saying from Barnabas or whatever in his salutations, is the only times after this scripture that Barnabas is mentioned. Now, does that mean that Barnabas was wrong and Paul was right because Paul didn't want John Mark to go and Barnabas wanted him to go, so Barnabas left with John Mark and Barnabas was so wrong that his ministry just went down the tube? No, 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 no. It wasn't that he was wrong about his opinion with John Mark. That was just an opinion. He was wrong to let the contention grow and take over. He was wrong to let this little problem get bigger than what he could even handle anymore, that finally he left, and him and Paul parted ways. Now, I don't even have to tell you about Paul from this point on. Paul, from this point on, mission became the world's greatest missionary to ever live. Amen. Paul began to spread the gospel all across the known world at the time, and Paul began to do a great work for God. He was already doing it, and he did not miss a beat by it because he refused to let the contention get involved in it, and Barnabas let the contention get a hold of him. And so him and John Mark left Paul. Now listen, friend, if you let the devil work with contention so much that all you can do now, after you've let contention go so long, that all you can do with all this contention is simply walk away and leave the church, or stay away from that preacher, or just decide, you know, not to have anything else to do with that person sitting over there because of the contention, be careful. That's exactly what the devil wants to happen. Nowhere do I read that Paul asked Barnabas to leave, or Paul said, if Barnabas doesn't depart, I'm going to depart. Nowhere do I read that, or do I get that opinion. It seems to me like Paul said his opinion, gave his opinion, and went on about his way, kept working for the Lord. Barnabas gave his opinion and got so angry that he decided, okay, Paul, you feel that way? Fine. And leaves. And so what happens? Paul goes on to have one of the greatest ministries that we as Pentecostals have ever seen or read about, was the ministry of Paul. Barnabas, that's all that we know about his ministry. Apparently, if I understand it right, his ministry maybe not came to a screeching halt, but it was certainly nothing big enough to write anything about. It was certainly not big enough to mention. So could it have been that we could have had Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the book of Barnabas, or a book with a different name about Barnabas, the ministry of Barnabas? But Barnabas left because he was mad. He let the contention grow and get a hold of him too much. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, over in the book of John, chapter number 18, let's start at verse number 37 of John chapter number 18. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So here is the writing, and there's quite a bit of writing concerning the crucifixion of Jesus, about a man named Pilate. Now Pilate wasn't completely evil, and he wasn't necessarily dumb. He came out and said, hey, I've talked to him. I don't find any fault in him at all. Right? I mean, Pilate came out and said, hey, I don't find no fault in him. A matter of fact, he was educated enough that he could say, you have a custom that we release one to you this time of year. How about if I release him to you? And they said, no, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Barabbas was a robber. Now, what would have happened? Let's just let our imagination do a little bit of work here. Now, we all know the story of the crucifixion, and we know that it had to be done in order for our sins to be washed away, and we know that it was prophesied just the way that it would happen. But could it have happened that Pilate would have done more than just put his hands in a basin and wash his hands and say, I've washed my hands from this matter? But could it have been that if Pilate would have said, this man is the Son of God, this man is the Christ, wouldn't that have made a difference in the story? Oh, sure. They would have still crucified Jesus. But could it have been that we had had Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Pilate? Could it have been that when we sing and preach and think about going to heaven and think about, yeah, I want to sit down next to John and let John tell me all about it, that we could have said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down next to Pilate and let Pilate tell me all about what it was like on that day. Pilate would have said, "No, no, no, this is the Son of God. This man is the Christ." Maybe they would have crucified Pilate too. Or maybe they would have just ran Pilate out and we wouldn't have heard no more of Pilate concerning the crucifixion at that point. But wouldn't it have made a difference if Pilate would have given his life and all of his desires and all of his will over to Jesus on that day? I'm preaching tonight about the unwritten books. No, there's no book in the New Testament called the Book of Pilate. But that is a fact, not an opinion. That's a fact. There's no book in the New Testament called the Book of Pilate. If your Bible's got a Book of Pilate, you might ought to dispose of it quick. Well, let me tell you, friend, that is a fact. There's no book called Pilate. But this is just an opinion or just an imaginary thought. Could there have been a book called Pilate? Is that one of the books that could have been written if somebody would have just turned their life over to the Lord and obeyed the Lord? Amen. Wouldn't the story have been different if Pilate would have fell down on his knees when they were screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him," and Pilate went in the back and talked to him a little bit, and Jesus talked back to him, and Jesus told him the truth? And wouldn't it have been something if the story would have read, if John would have said, "And Pilate fell to his knees and began to weep"? Wouldn't the story have been different? What would happen if you would completely turn your life over to Jesus? What might could be written about the past concerning you? What might could be done for the Lord if you would completely turn your life over to Jesus? I wonder, you know, and I don't mean this to be harsh with you, but I just wonder what great things that the Lord would love to do at the Highway of Holiness that He's just waiting on you. Could it be that there are some people here that if they would just obey the Lord and let the Lord use them, that the Lord might do some great and mighty works here at the Highway of Holiness that He's not doing at this point because you are not allowing Him to use you? Amen? Come on now. Speaking of that word I said earlier, predestination, it is my opinion that no one does any more for the Lord than what they want to. Amen? You will not do any more for the Lord than what you want to. Now, if you're an absolute predestination believer, then you believe, yeah, well, the Lord knows, and that'll happen because the Lord already predestined that that one will get saved and become a preacher, and this many people will be saved. And well, no, wait a minute. I don't see it that way. What if the Lord would love to use you, but you just won't turn over to Him and let Him use you? It is time, friend, that you turn over and let the Lord have His way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all lift our hands and tell the Lord that we want to be used of the Lord tonight. Come on. Talk to the Lord a little bit tonight, folks. Talk to the Lord a little bit tonight. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's a couple of men that have come, that came to my mind today. I wrote their names down on this piece of paper as being men that when you first read about them in the Bible, the first things that's recorded about them in the New Testament, you would think, yeah, well, that's probably good guys. But then you realize that they turned that corner and gave their lives over to the Lord, and then think about the great way that the Lord used them. This boy I was just talking about named John Mark, he was apparently immature, whatever it was, but you know, he went out on a mission trip with them and he just got homesick. He just decided it was time to get home. So he left and went back home. Well, you know, when I read that scripture, just reading that one scripture, I can't help but think, yeah, I don't blame Paul for saying, look, we got to do work for the Lord here. We ain't got time to babysit John Mark. But later, John Mark turns it around, and Paul writes the words that says that John Mark is profitable. Paul later writes that he needs John Mark because John Mark is profitable. John Mark turned the corner and gave it all over to Jesus, and therefore we have the gospel according to Mark, and we read much about this man named Mark, this boy that was called John Mark. We find out that, yeah, he started off a little bit slow. Matter of fact, he wouldn't even finish the trip. But before it's over, would you notice what all that John Mark was doing for the Lord? Well, that very well easily could have been something that I could have read tonight, the story of John Mark going home, and I could have said something like, could have now, I could have said something like, yeah, well, it could have been Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you just kind of smiled and said, yeah, yeah, that would have been different. But you know what? It is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because that's not an unwritten book. That is somebody who turned it all over to Jesus and let Jesus use them and wrote the gospel according to Mark. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, there's a story one time. It was night in this story, and there's a guy that comes running up to Jesus and talks to him and asks him about eternal life. His name was Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, we don't have a book in our Bible called Nicodemus, but he is mentioned later and talked about again later. There is more writing about Nicodemus because, now, if you was to read this to me and me not know that Nicodemus was ever mentioned again, I'd have to say, now wait a minute. Okay, let's think about this. This guy's a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus at night and talks to him secretly. Wait a minute. That guy, he don't have no backbone. He ain't going to do nothing for the Lord. Speaking of no backbone, they put Jesus on the cross, and he was dead now. And two men came to get his body. Joseph and Nicodemus. Now wait a minute. Nicodemus, the Pharisee who had no backbone, who snuck out at night and said, psst, Jesus, what do I have to do to get eternal life? Shh, come over here and talk to me a little bit. You mean that same man who was so worried that in case someone would see him, would take the cross down and get that crucified body who was probably beyond recognition, blood everywhere, a terrible, terrible mess, and carry that body right through those people? That same man would do something like that? Now, wait a minute. If he was nervous about what everybody would think of him, surely he wouldn't, after they finally get their way and crucify him, go back and get the body off the cross and carry that body to Joseph's tomb? Wait a minute. Well, that's what he did, friend. He turned it around. Amen? Now, the gospel books there, the first four books of the New Testament, would have a little bit different at the ending of the crucifixion had it not been for Nicodemus. Could that have read something like, and Joseph and Demas? Joseph and John Mark? Joseph and somebody else went and craved the body of Jesus and took his body off the cross? But it says Joseph and Nicodemus. Nicodemus started off a little slow, but he prayed through. He changed his mind. He decided to give his life over to Jesus. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. I don't know what will be said in 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 75 years from now concerning the Highway of Holiness Church. But I wonder what won't be said that could have been said if you would have prayed through tonight and let the Lord use you. Come on now.